Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
The series, proclaiming that God is with us. If you have been here this past week, even as Pastor John shared last week with a powerful message talking about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world, found in the book of Isaiah. And I'm going to ask that we all read it together. Thank you so much, as my wife and I have been here for the entire month of December, which has been an extreme treat for us, because usually we're out and about and usually here once a month. But you say, what is a staff evangelist? Here's what a staff evangelist is, as we're defining this. Usually, I live right back there under the cross, and then once a month, I come out here and I'm with you. So it's good to finally be out here with you again. But found in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7, continue with our series, God With Us, part 3, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Can I ask you to all read it together with your best voices? Let's clear our throats. All right, because you always get out the gate a little hard. Let's get it right away. Here we go. You ready? Here we go. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry of your word. We thank you that your spirit is so close to us, even lives inside of us. Lord, we are so blessed to know you and to be known by you. But Lord, we're praying for the work of the Holy Spirit to do what only you can do from the preaching and teaching of your word. Bring clarity, but Lord, bring your peace, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, between 701 and 681 BC, when Isaiah declared this, in Isaiah 7:14, the prophet Isaiah addresses the house of David, meaning the family and descendants of King David. And it speaks of a virgin conceiving a child and giving birth to this child. Isaiah says this in the context of it being a sign from God that God is actually with us. He also says that the child would be referred to as Emmanuel, which means God with us, or God among us. The New Testament books found in the New Testament, not the Old Testament, books of Matthew and Luke, record details involving the birth of Jesus, who was born about 700 years after this time of Isaiah, given this proclamation or this prophecy. Both Matthew and Luke say that Jesus was born of a virgin named Mary, and that Jesus is the Son of God. Because Jesus is both fully human and fully God, he is literally, he can be referred to as God with us, or God among us. Found in the book of Matthew, one of the four Gospels, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. If you remember, there was silence, as the video showed, about 400 to 500 years between the time of the prophet Malachi to now Matthew, as this sort of declaration is taking place. And it says in verse 23, as Matthew is given his gospel, he says, Joseph, who was a son of David, remember from the prophecy of Isaiah, Joseph, in the lineage of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. No one ever touched Mary, but it was conceived of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why the name Jesus? I have some good news. Everything God did was on purpose. The Bible says Jesus, his name was Jesus, because here's the good news. He will save his people from their sins. No one else can take away sin but Jesus alone. Then this Bible continues to say, Jesus was always fulfilling prophecy. It says all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive. The message was the same. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, here we go, God with us. Ravi Zacharias, who is a Christian apologist, one of the best around, Indian-born Canadian-American, says this. He says, the older I get, the more I am enamored, or I'm falling in love more and more with the fact that in the Christian message, the story of Bethlehem leading to Calvary and to the empty tomb is the only one that gives to us not only the answers, but even helps us justify our questions. Found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul writes, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To one, it's foolishness. To others, it's experiencing God's power. I will loop in there the message of Christ. What is the message? The message is that proclaimed over and over again that God made a way, that God is with us. And not just with us, but he is a God that saves us through the person of Jesus Christ. It's not just the message of the cross, but it's the entire message of Christ and his mission from his birth to his life, to his death, to his resurrection, to his ascension up to heaven, to his return, and his soon reign here on the earth. This belief and this truth that God is with us, to those that are perishing, it is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Here's a few belief systems of the world. This is actually what it is. You've probably heard of this one. Atheists, or a person that's an atheist or atheism, believes that this type of person, there's a disbelief or lack of belief that God, there's no God. There's no existence of God. Deism is another world belief. Deism actually believes that there is a God, but after God created, he stepped back and no longer had relation with the earth. Theism, which many of you and I, if you confess Christ or confess to believe in him, it's a belief in the existence of a God or gods, especially the belief in one God as creator of the universe, intervening in it and sustaining a personal relationship with those he created. Many of you here probably say, well, Pastor Jamel, I am not an atheist, thank God. You probably say, I do believe that there's a God. Awesome. Some of you here say, well, I'm not even a deism. I don't believe that there God, I don't just believe that God is, but I don't believe that God stepped back after he created the world and everything in it. You would say, I'm more of a theism or a theist that says, I believe that there is not only just believing in God, I believe that there is one God. I actually believe that God created and that God is here. He dwells with men. And that's wonderful. But you also may be here and say, Pastor Jamel, I believe it. I do. I believe in Jesus. I believe what God said. I believe that he's here. But one thing I may not believe is, can God do it now, today? And my answer is emphatically, yes, he can. My problem is, God, what about me? What about now? God, can you intervene in my situation today? Pastor John read a passage last week from Isaiah 9:6, and this is God's also declaration. And he says in Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, for to us a son is given. How much more can God make himself known by saying, I am with you? But when the Christ was born, there were still people stubborn to believe that God was now with his creation through the person of Jesus. Even the Jews, even those who were experts in the law and of the prophets, had a hard time receiving God's gift to the earth. Look in John chapter 1, verse 9. John chapter 1, verse 9, as we're reading this, and Jesus is now beginning to soon start his earthly ministry, and there were talks about Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 9, as John the Baptist is the forerunner, he was the one that was going to come before the Messiah, but he was actually after him. And Jesus says this, or John's words, the Bible says that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming in the world. So John the Baptist was saying, I know what you see here is amazing, but I am not the light. The light is coming. And he says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, could you imagine if God made everything but received no credit for it? He says, although the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to which that was his own. Yes, his own. Of course they were going to receive him. And they denied him. The Bible says in verse 12, yet, I was a yet. He says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who would believe in his name, listen to this, good news. He gives you and I the right to become the children of God. God says, when you receive me as your Lord and Savior, God says, when you put your faith in me, I'm going to wrap my arms around you and I'm going to invite you into my presence and into the family of God. The same book of the Bible declares that Jesus was the Word of God. And the Bible says first, he says, you remember in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. But then you skip down to that same chapter in verse 14. The Bible says the Word became flesh and he made his dwelling amongst us. Why? Because God is with us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You say, where is God today? Is God still with us? John 5:17 declares, Jesus says, my Father is at work to this very day. I too am working. When God is with us, we will experience three things. When God is with us, we will experience God's miracles. If you read through the scriptures, whenever God was with his people, there were always signs and wonders. In the book of Exodus, we read about the account of Moses and the Red Sea crossing. They were trapped between a rock and a hard place. You ever found yourself in that situation where there was nowhere to go, there was nobody to turn to? Everyone left you. They couldn't pay for your bills. They could not do it. But there was a moment in your life when you said, God, I know that you're the God that wrote the Bible, but can you rewrite my story right now? And the Bible says that as Moses looked up, the enemy was behind him. There was nowhere to go. He had about 400,000 to 600,000 people screaming, Moses, where are we going? And the Bible says Moses looked up and said, God, where do you want us to go from here? And then God began to work the supernatural because God had a plan. And the Bible says all throughout the night, he allowed the enemy to remain at bay. And the Bible said he blew a wind on those waters called the Red Sea. And before you know it, all night long, all of creation will lifting up their hands to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible said he took his people. He took them from a wet ground to a dry ground. He made a way where there could not be any other way. And the Bible said the waters went. And I love this story because the people of God was once living in fear, was now experiencing the mighty hand of God. And they walked on dry ground. What a story. You know, I look at the Old Testament and New Testament, and it matches. It was the fulfillment of what God said. And I look at that story, and I say, how does that apply? And I look as they were walking through that dry ground, God says, man, I see a picture of the Christ. that, man, you are going to walk through this baptism that Jesus has for you. And he took those people, and there's stories upon stories upon stories how God came through for his people. I think often of another popular book of the Bible. That's why we're going through the story, so you can understand and learn all these stories, because they're so applicable. But there's another story called David and the Eagles. I'll just kind of use it that way, because I don't like saying the Giants, because in the Giants, you know. David and Goliath, he was the eagle. He was the giant. And the Bible, yeah, look at you coming alive. And you know the story? David was a shepherd boy. Unassuming. Man, David, when they were looking for the next king, David wasn't even asked to come to the line of his brothers. He was an afterthought. They said, no way can David be used greatly by God. And God chose a man, and God chose David, although he was small, although he was unassuming. The Bible says he was handsome. But God chose him when no one else chose him. And God put a spirit inside of him. And you remember as David grew up and as David began to grow in his gifts of shepherding, but he also grew in the gift of a slingshot. It wasn't like a slingshot. It was an auxiliary weapon that he learned how to use in his previous battle. And the Bible says that all he did was take one smooth stone. He took five, but only used one. You say, well, what are the other ones from? I'll talk that into the story if we get to that in another time. But the Bible said he took that one smooth rock, and you know the story. He saw Goliath coming at him, and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine talking about the people of God? And now my Bible says he got on that little whoop, whoop. I wish I was there. Down goes Goliath. God always comes through for his people. When God is in the midst of his people, he proves his existence with signs and wonders that not only confirms his existence, but it talks about his goodness and his favor. Why? Because God wants us to know that he has not left us. He is here. He is active. He is alive. But God's greatest miracle of all, his greatest miracle of all was when he whispered into the darkness and he said in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God's word is still true today. And I love verse 17 because he says, he did not come into the world to judge you. He came into the world to save you. I love that scripture verse. Every miracle that Jesus did was a demonstration and sign that not only did he come from God, but that Jesus is who he claimed to be. He's the Son of the living God, and he is with us. Book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 13 through 15 says, when you were dead in your sins, I'm so thankful that God didn't wait for me to get good. It is impossible for me to be good without Jesus. But it's him. It is him that transformed the life. He goes, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave you of all your sin, having canceled the charge of the legal indebtedness that you had, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, having disarmed the powers and the authorities. You know what that tells me? That God, not only did he remove my sin, not only did he bury my sin, but no longer was the sin that once held me back had charge over my life anymore. I was now filled with God's Spirit, the Bible says, triumphing over them by the cross. In other words, this Jesus that is now with us says, I nailed your sin to the cross. He nailed my shame, my guilt, my addiction, my darkness, my sickness, my death, my hell, my grave, all was nailed to the cross of Jesus. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful. Does God still do miracles today? And the answer will always be yes and amen. God is still active and moving on our Wednesday nights. During our Wednesday nights, we've been doing a teaching from Pastor Jim Simley. He's the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. If you've experienced our Wednesday nights these past few weeks, you've been blessed. I've been blessed extremely. But we've been going over this new series that he does, throne room of grace, and it was there this past week that, man, I got so convicted. I was so convicted. Because I'm like you. I'm like, God, I want to see signs and wonders. I want to see you move. I want to see you do great things. And, you know, and God just whispered through this teaching the importance of God's peace. And found in the scripture verse there, we put it up. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. How can you and I rejoice always? Because my joy does not come from my circumstances. My circumstances, my situations could take me on a roller coaster, but my joy remains the same. My joy is fixed on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. He says, the Lord is near. Then he says in verse 6, here it is. Do not be anxious about anything. But he says, but in every situation, if you were here for that teaching, he says, when you go to God and you ask God for things, ask God like he doesn't even know what you're talking about. Ask him. And he says, here it is. He says, by prayer and petition. He says, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then verse 7, here's the today miracle. The today miracle is this. It is the peace of Almighty God. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. I'm talking about a peace that you can't even understand or describe. Nobody can tell me that it's, the peace of God isn't real. I remember getting a call from the doctor. You were like, you were still a baby. That's my brother right there. Give a little wave off, and that's Thomas right there. Yeah, that's Thomas. He don't know who he is. He's Thomas. He's Thomas, my little brother right there. My mom had him when I was 19. I know the big gap. I don't understand. I'm still trying to get it, but he's a good kid, though. He's a great kid. So thankful that he's here, but I was just confused at the time. He's a twin, his twin sister, and the third sister. Yes, she was, huh? My mom, she had another one after those two. So how many of us? There's a lot of us. So, but I remember getting a call from the hospital, and them saying, hey, get to the hospital. Your mom's not going to make it. What? My mom is not going to make what? She's having a baby. This is a time of celebration. They put her on life support. I'm going to the hospital, and I'm thinking, why am I not freaking out right now? Because it was the ministry of God's peace that says, I will never leave you, son, nor will I ever forsake you. God's peace is able to meet you right where you are. It's a peace that you cannot describe. And I confessed, I said, oh God, forgive me for not recognizing your peace. God, your peace is a wonderful miracle that I have from God. It's a blessed assurance. Oh, that joy is mine. The peace is mine. Listen, the world, trust me, they're searching for it, but nothing can satisfy. Nothing can quench but Jesus Christ, our Savior. Nothing. It's the peace of God that transcends all understanding. Christ is peace on earth. This is supernatural. I remember, how many know that when you're going through transition, you need peace? You need peace. How many know you need peace when you don't know where you're going? I remember getting a call from the Lord. It's wrestled for 3 years with my wife. And the Lord said, you pack up. You're going to be moving on. Pack up where? Where I'm going. Calling you to be an evangelist. I never knew. What? You got to leave your church. No. Where am I going to go? And, you know, obviously, I'm coming here. I'm here. And so I said, what does this mean? We don't have all the, you know, sometimes God doesn't show you the whole plan. He's just like, step out in faith. I'm like, what does that mean? I will be with you. I will lead you. I will guide you. And so I had to go to my wife. My wife was very satisfied. She was very like, this is us and no more. This is who we are. And so I had to tell, I said, Lord, what am I going to do? He says, tell them we got to go. I said, all of them? I got to take all of them? Thinking, you know, can we negotiate? He says, yeah, and take your mother-in-law. Her too? You know, So thankful for my mother-in-law. So thankful for her. Honestly, I am. She's a great woman. Great woman. Love you, Lucy. And okay, Lord. Okay, let's. Okay, your peace is with me, but let's start off with some practical. Practical. Where are we going? Practical. Where are we gonna live? I don't know. You cannot go to your wife that way. You gotta have some answers. So I said, honey, listen, we gotta put up our house on the market. We never did this before. This was our like home. We gotta put it up. So we said, all right, we don't even know how to do that. I gotta get a realtor and whatever. And we started putting it up on the market, and it sold in a day. There's a house that's still on the market on my block right now. It's been on the market for like 3 years. But in a day? So, okay, I sold it in a day. Where I'm going? We were so excited, though. We were like, oh, look at God. Where are we going? We don't know. We didn't know. We really didn't know. We're freaking out. We're like, okay, Lord, that sold. So now we need a property, a piece of property. And so I had to do the natural thing, and I looked on realtor.com. I'm not telling you to do that right now. I'm just telling you my story. And I looked on realtor.com, and this whole time I'm like, oh, honey, we going to Mount Laurel. They got streets, and they got sirens. They got it all. Whatever. And I'm thinking, I got my door. Listen to this. I called the people at like the school, like, hey, the Mayo Clan is coming. And so can you get everything ready? They were like, absolutely. What does your daughter do? I go, oh, she's a band, little twirly thing. He goes, no problem. I'm going to get all her measurements. You're fine. I go, really? He goes, yeah, we're going to hook her up. We even got a home dance for her. I was like, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. This is totally you. So we finally get there, and God didn't open up that door. I had to go back to the guy and go, sorry about the dance thing and the whole measurements, but she's not going there, because here's what happened. As we got closer to the vision, God had a different plan. And for the first time, we looked out, and we didn't even know where Cherry Hill was, and God just was like, boom! He didn't really say boom, but it was like, where did that come from? I was like, where did this come from? And watch this. When I got there, I didn't even know how to get to Cherry Hill. So I get to the door, and my wife is with me, and we all freaking out. And we just said, is the peace of God here? Is the peace of God here? And God's peace went before us. And God's peace lives inside of us. And listen to me, it's not about a destination. It's about the miracle of God's peace that is living with you every single day. It's here. He's faithful. Isn't he wonderful? He's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. Secondly, when God is with us, not only do we experience his peace, but we will witness salvations. Don't forget that Jesus died to save sinners, which I was the worst. His mission is still to seek and to save those that are lost. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, his name was given to him, Jesus, because he will do what he's been destined to do. He'll save his people from their sins. Think about this plan. God, how will you do it? How will you do this? I'm going to do it by laying down my life for those that do not even want me. It's still the salvation of God. It is still the mission of God to seek and save those that are far from him. Are you saved? Your name written in the book of life? That's the miracle of God. Not only did God save me, but he saved my entire household. I'm saved. My wife, thank God, she's saved. Even my mother-in-law, she's saved. My brother, he's saved. His two sisters, they're saved. My mom, she got saved. My dad, he's saved. It all started because Jesus saved my life. Salvations are still the heartbeat of our Father. the piano player can come. Not only will we witness miracles, not only will we witness salvations, but we will witness the kingdom of God advancing. It's all about advancing His agenda. It's all about moving forward what God has placed inside of us. Luke 8:1 says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. God is calling us today to advance His kingdom. People that are about souls and the salvation of men and women are about advancing the kingdom of God. God has given us here a wonderful opportunity to see in the kingdom of God advance. Whether it's moving or whether it's having Saturday night services, you say, why are we doing this? Why do we want to? Do we just say we want more work? Please, God, give us more work. No, it's to see more people have an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Why build this amazing building we call the Field House? To give people that will normally not walk inside of a church an opportunity to experience the presence of God. Why the MCA program for the preschool and school? These parents that filled in, and man, it was so much fun, Miss Marin. It was so powerful. Those kids, they were so adorable. But I totally had fun opening up the door for the parents. Like I met like every parent. They were coming in. Hey, welcome to our church. They had no clue who I was, and it was so much fun. They were, oh, thank you so much. I want them to feel the best of the best. Why? Because this is God's house. This is where it's at. And they came in and they heard the words and their children singing about Jesus. And they heard Pastor John jokes. They got through that part. They did. He ripped like 11 jokes in a row. I'm thinking, oh man, I hope Jesus was in those things. And it tore down walls. It's so much fun. We're saying, listen, we have fun in the presence of God. But it's not even about that. It's about, God, how can we strategically advance your kingdom? Because we really believe that people are dying and going to hell. We really believe that. I'm saying, oh God, no God, help us, oh God. Help us to do everything we can do, God, to help people with this incredible message. We'll never condemn people, but we'll say, God, we'll lay our lives down so that people can see Jesus. That's what it's about. The kingdom of God. Why do we pray on Wednesday nights and call on the name of the Lord? Because people need to see. We need to advance the kingdom of God forward. You will never advance darkness if you don't know how to go to the light. You will never advance the kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of darkness if we don't learn how to pray and call on the name of the Lord. We are called to do this together. Now, there are some things that you can do practically to advance God's kingdom. There are some things that I believe that God will give you, just sometimes this creativity that comes from God. You call it whatever you want. I just call it God's voice. And God will speak to you about what you can do to advance His kingdom. Now, so I'm in Cherry Hill, right? And there's like deers and stuff. I don't get along with those things, man. They come out of bushes and stuff. Like, they don't even tell you when they're coming. They just, I'm like, yo, don't do that. So to combat the enemy, I got another dog. I got a big dog, man. You say, why did you get that big dog? To protect us. Then I'm walking my dog. He's scared of it. I'm like, dude, I got to get another one. So we got these two dogs or whatever. And I just started doing this right from the very beginning. Because I don't even know where I live at. But in the place where we live, there's like a circle that goes around like this. And early, like maybe about several years ago, 5 or 6, I did the circle maker by Mark Batterson with my church. And he just encouraged us to kind of like do some circles and experience the miracles of God. Well, that teaching never left me. And so I live in a complex that has literally, it's a circle. And God used that time 7 years ago to start marking the territory that this place belongs to God. And so I'm just out there and I'm just walking with my dogs or whatever, praying in the spirit. You better pray in the spirit, them things gonna get you. So I'm praying in the spirit and I'm walking these dogs or whatever. And like little by little, God's given us favor or whatever. And so I get finally, you know, I get to walk, and sometimes it's raining. I don't wanna be out there, huh? I don't wanna go, then I gotta go, cause you know, then they're gonna go and that's not gonna be good. And so I get there, and this lady, we're going to call her Kim, because her name is really Kim. She stopped me, right? I didn't see her coming. I got my dog. She stopped me. Danny, you're in this testimony. Get ready. So she stopped me, and she says, Jamal? I go, my name's not Jamal. It's Jamel. But anyway, you know, like somebody messes up your name. You can't even correct them. You can't correct them. You just got to let it happen. So I'm like, all right, Jamal, I guess I'm Jamal. Hey, Kim, how you doing? She goes, I'm so glad you're in our neighborhood. I felt so blessed. I was like, yes. I was like, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much. Where do you live? Right there. Oh, that's great. Small talking, whatever. And I didn't feel a nudge or whatever, so I just kept moving. I went into the house and I was a wreck. I felt like I disappointed God, because that was the moment. Like, I missed the moment. You ever feel like you missed the moment? And I was like, oh, God, I'm not missing that moment no more. And the Lord spoke to my heart again. He goes, no, it wasn't that time, but you don't miss this. And I was asking Pastor Liz, I was bugging her, like, for a while about when are we getting our cards? Because the Lord nudged me. He says, I want you to invite all your neighbors to the candlelight service. I said, all of them? I said, all of them. I said, well, I can't just go alone. He goes, no, bring everybody. Bring the dogs, bring them all, even your mother. Bring her, bring everybody. Just bring them. And so my plan is, Danny's, that's why I said, you're making all the cookies. Danny's an incredible baker. You don't want me to make those cookies. I would kill the whole neighborhood. But she is going to make those cookies. And all we're going to do, look, all we're going to do is we're just going to take it around. All we're going to do, we're going to do the throwback. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to say, hey, your dogs, yeah, the dogs, but hey, Danny, cookies, and then Danny's going to, hey, my daughter made some cookies for you. We just want to just invite you to a Christmas Eve service. We would love for you to be our guest. Really? You know what goes through our mind right there? We always go to, what if nobody comes? You know where mine goes now? What if all of them come? No, seriously. Because we've been praying, we've been sowing, we've been saying, God, you're going to do a miracle. See, it's not just me to live there. It's for me to make a kingdom impact in advancing what God wants to do. And so whatever, God will give you opportunities. So would you pray for me this week? I'm going out there, man. I'm going out there. But what about you? Maybe God will give you a different way on how to reach people. And so we just try to make it easier. Say, God, would you, let's do that. Let's say, God, please, Lord, we have this message of hope. May people be transformed by the God that wants to come close. Would you pray with me all over this room? All over this room. I believe that God's presence is in this place. And man, maybe you're here and you just say, man, I need God. Maybe you're here. You're like, man, I need that miracle now. I need the now God. God, is he really working now? Yes, he is. He's working. But maybe you stepped into this place, and to be honest, man, you say, I don't have him as my Lord and Savior. I've never asked him to come in. Man, that is the first step. We rejoice with those who receive Christ in the first service. But you're here, and you're like, does God come close? Oh, yes, he does. And you say, man, I'm ready to make that decision. I won't embarrass you, I promise you. But if that is you, would you just lift up the hand and say, I'm ready to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to be open to the miracles of God and the favor of God. The presence of God is here. He will meet you right where you are at now. He's done the work. Second call. God, we need breakthroughs. Lord, I need that peace again. God, that was yesterday's peace, but I need today's peace. I need the peace in the midst of my storm. I need the God who says he is the Prince of Peace. I need that peace right now. God says he promises it to us, but you got to be open. Would you stand with me all over this house? I believe that God wants to do a miracle in our lives right now. It's already happening. Why? Because he already lives inside of us. For those who receive Christ, the peace of God and the mercy of God already lives in you. And you say, man, that's me. I need to experience God's miracle in my life. Is miracles for today? Yes and amen. Is this peace for today? Yes and amen. Can we advance the kingdom of God today? Yes, we can if God is with us. Today, would you come around this altar and allow the Lord to minister to your heart today? Let's believe that God can do it. Come on. Let's believe. Great are you, Lord.